Okay, welcome. This is not a congregational meeting. There's nothing official that we need to do. This is purely a beginning of the year meeting that we do in August as we kick off the new calendar to update you on the past year and to talk about what's upcoming this year. Now, unlike years past, we do not have... Let me just very briefly tell you how it happens. In June, our pastoral team gets together to assess our, to fellowship and assess ourselves, but then also assess the church, where we are, praise the Lord, evaluate where we need to grow. That then leads into what we would call different initiatives, maybe some tweaks and changes, and then maybe just some all-out new initiatives. That stuff goes to the officers after that week for them to speak into and approve whatever needs to be approved. And then in August, for what we're here doing now, is when we bring it all to you. So that's what this is. Now, unlike years past, we don't have a bunch of new initiatives to share with you. Last year, we talked about us founding the Bluegrass Network and what that was going to mean, and that's still going. But we don't have many new initiatives this year. The biggest initiative, you want to call it, as you'll hear in a minute, has to do with Mark, myself, and Will. And we'll explain what that means here in a moment. But let me just briefly touch on this year and just say it was a blessed year. I'm not going to take the time, because we have a lot to talk about, I'm not going to take the time to recount all of the things that we could celebrate, but there are many. We planted a church fully and finally. We could talk about the parish groups and how many were in attendance. Maybe Mark will talk about that a little bit. But so many of our goals for the year were met. But let me talk about the budget, because we are concluding this fiscal year. And in October, we will enter into a new fiscal year. And I'm not going to put up a screen and take the time to go line by line through it all, just to say that the Lord has blessed us. If you have an order of worship, you can turn to page 10. If not, that's okay. But you will see the July actual giving and the July giving goal. And then you move over to year-to-date actual giving and year-to-date actual or giving goal, and you will see that we are $43,967 in the black. And if you recall last year, that's an aggressive budget that we held out before you and challenged you to meet, and you have done that. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your generosity, and praise the Lord. If we finish strong next month, so again, October 1 is the beginning of a new fiscal year. If we finish strong over the next few weeks, if we keep these patterns of generosity going here, then we are going to meet a giving budget that was the most aggressive giving budget that we have ever held out to our people. And so let me just say praise the Lord and thank you for your generosity. And say this, we need to give more. You're going to hear it in my sermon. For those of you in the first service, you've already heard it. For those coming to second service, you'll hear it more. Let's say in October we're going to gather together and again like this, and we're going to hold out this year's budget, okay? So it needs to get approved, and then we're going to outline this year's budget. And I'm just going to tell you up front, what we've decided to do is we have decided to just put together what is a budget that it costs to run this place. Let's just throw the goal out here. This is what it looks like to run a church of our size with the ministry operations that we have. And it's an aggressive budget. Let's just pretend like this time next year, we have gathered together and we said, we met our budget. Let's say that the Lord did something extraordinary and somebody decided to pay off our debt. We're out of debt. Let's say that we finished under in expenses, so we've got a huge excess. You know what I would say? Double down on your generosity. We do not give to meet needs. We do not give to meet a budget. We give because Jesus is King of our lives and King of our finances. It is a lordship issue. So if we had $1 million in the bank and we had no debt and we are fully funded and fully staffed, I would be no less firm in the challenge of we need to be a tithing church. We need to be a generous church because at the essence, it is a character core Christian conviction issue, not a meat budget issue. So yes, we're very encouraged. And I just want to say, don't look at those numbers and say, oh, wow, okay, maybe we can take it easy here. No, let's step it up. Let's go after it. Let's see what the Lord can do this year. But yes, thank you for your generosity. We celebrate that in every way. And as you'll hear in my sermon this morning, the goal for us financially is not a budget. It is for everyone who calls TCPC home, a member or regular attender, to tithe to this community. If we did that, then our budget is met. Our ministries are funded. Our staff is full. We've got it covered. So let's let that be our challenge for this year. Okay, I'm going to hand it over to Mark, and he's going to update you on our 1, 2, 3 commitments.
Okay, so last year we started a new initiative, and we called it, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. And it was when Robert introduced the Bluegrass Network, and we talked about, all right, how are we actually going to pull off the Bluegrass Network? And the answer is, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Some of you all remember that. I hope some of you all remember that. But as a pastoral team, as we wrestled with it, we really decided this wasn't just for last year. It's really a good discipleship tool for all of us individually and as our congregation. And we've decided we want to make this part of our regular ongoing discipleship. So if you weren't here last year, let me remind you of what the 1, 2, 3 commitment is. Each church year, academic year, if you will, beginning around Labor Day or so, we want to ask everyone to do these three things. First is that you will commit to one thing you're asking God to do in your life this year. Like one major prayer request for you, your family, your work, your neighborhood, whatever that may be. One big thing that you're asking God to do. Secondly, as part two, is commit to two things of growth in Christian practices. That is just in your own personal walk with the Lord, two things. Maybe it's a sacrifice. Maybe it is to begin reading the Bible. Maybe it's to join a parish group. Maybe it is to be part of a Bible study or a fellowship group or increase of giving. Maybe it's a particular sin. Maybe it's a particular vice you're trusting the Lord to help you give up and overcome. Whatever it is, but it's two things of growth in Christ. So one thing to pray for, two things of growth in Christ. And then thirdly is a commitment to pray for at least 3 non-Christians to come to know Christ this year. That is by name that you list these 3 people that I'm asking the Lord to give me opportunities to engage in the gospel. Asking the Lord to present open doors so that we can dialogue about faith, about Christ, so that we are praying about those things. So who are those 3 people in your circle of life that you would pray for? Would come to know Christ this year and you'd have a chance to talk to them. Here's what's unique this year, a bit of a twist. And it would be the logistics. Last year, we thought the concept was really, really good. But what we asked everyone to do was to follow a link online and to put it on this online thing that went to the pastors. And we heard pretty loud and clear that was a little bit odd to talk about personal stuff and then just type it into your computer and send it off away and hope that the pastors get it. So this is what we're going to do differently this year. Starting next week, we're going to have a 1, 2, 3 commitment hard copy of sort where you can jot these three things down, and then you'll have it on like a cardstock of some sort. Paul Adams is going to be working on that this week. And keep it in front of you. Maybe you slide it into your Bible. Maybe you put it on your refrigerator. Whatever is appropriate for you to remind yourself of these three things, of what your prayer is, of what your practices are, and the people that you're praying for. But then there's another twist to it than that. On September the 8th, we're going to have a special Sunday school class. Again, we'll start in here, and then we're going to divide into 5 different groups, 5 different rooms. And that is, you will take another piece of paper with your one prayer request, and you will give it to your parish officers. So we're going to have 5 different Sunday school classes, all according to your zip code. And all the parish officers and their wives will be introduced. You'll get to know them. And then one of your officers will receive that prayer request. And throughout this year, they'll be praying for you. So hypothetically, I live in Parish 1. Let's say, for example, Lisa Randall's big prayer request this year is for her husband. She would write that down. She would give that to the parish officers. Ralph Haddock is a deacon in our parish. Ralph would then pray for Lisa's husband this year. And ideally, the way this would work is that Ralph would contact Lisa throughout the year just to let her know he's praying for her, that there's more buy-in of your officers, and you get to know your officers more. So that's it. You'll have your copy, and then a parish officer will be praying for you throughout the year for that one thing. On the 1, 2, 3, the 2 and the 3 are really personal. You don't share those unless you just want your parish officer to know. But that one thing of prayer, you'll share. And now, the last twist of that one thing you're praying for in your parish group this year, that is the what you will be sharing throughout the year. So as if you're part of parish groups last year, we did the 5 H's. This year, as a parish group, when it's your turn on a particular Sunday evening, you're going to share your one prayer request and then the story that goes along with that. So throughout the year, you're going to have a parish officer in your parish group praying for you for this one thing. All right? That probably raises a lot of questions, and you can contact me all week, and I'll be glad to talk more with you. But we are doing the 1, 2, 3 commitments, and you'll be hearing a lot more about it starting next week. Jason, you're up next.
So for those of you who don't know, I'm Jason DeLong, and I'm one of the elders here at the church and currently serving as chairman of the staff committee. But I'm really excited today just to lay out for you and introduce an idea that we're rolling out this fall. Really, it's structural and organizational regarding these three guys and their roles at the church. We're not getting rid of any of them. They're all sticking around. We are blessed deeply to have these three guys. They are godly, committed, loving, gifted pastors. So we love these guys. We're glad to have them. But to an individual, they would tell you we are in need of some changes in terms of how they serve, how they function, how they fit together in the church. So that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today, just some reorganization and really clarity among their roles. So whether you've been here for years or just been here for months, you've already seen growth in this church. Some of you have been here since the infancy of the church, and you've seen how the church has been blessed repeatedly. And every growth phase is really a new challenge for us as leaders and particularly as pastors. We've seen diversity of age, diversity of expectations, diversity of thought, all coming into the church. And with that come challenges. If you've served a leadership role, you've probably navigated some of those waters already. But no one feels that more than the pastors do. We feel it on the sessional level, but they really carry the brunt of that as pastors. So when we sit and we look towards the future and we think some of the needs that we have that Robert outlined in the first service, you know, a family pastor, women's ministry director, some of these things, we also look and think, okay, we need to better utilize the guys that we do have. And it really comes with really outlining their giftedness, and they have done a lot of this work for us. They spent some time at the retreat that they mentioned earlier in early June, really openly and honestly just evaluating each other. To me, in a very uncomfortable way, something I wouldn't be real excited about. They sat and they shared weaknesses of each other that they saw, strengths that they saw, areas that they saw them serving that may not align with their passions, and really just really open to that and hearing each one speak into that. What came out of that was them coming to the staff committee with more than just, you know, we're being led by three stooges. It was we're being led by three pastors that are all uniquely gifted in very complementary ways. And so the challenge then became, okay, how do we put them together in a way to maximize their gifts and to really utilize them efficiently and effectively? So what's changing for us and for them starts with their titles, okay? And I actually had to write them down here so I wouldn't forget them. But we're moving away from traditional senior pastor, associate pastor, assistant pastor titles that you're used to seeing, more towards specific titles that really are indicative and communicate clearly what it is they actually do. What's their role for the church? So in other words, if you think we're going to move them from generalist to specialist, if you will. So for instance, Robert's title is going to go from a senior pastor to a pastor of preaching and vision, which fits his giftedness and what he's doing for our church really already. Mark's title is going to go from associate pastor to pastor of community and care. Will's title will move from assistant pastor to pastor of ministry and expansion. And they're going to fill the gaps in with this here in a minute. But what I want to emphasize to you is that this is really exciting to me, exciting to the staff committee and the session and to the pastors, because it's not semantics. This isn't just nomenclature. This really is affirmation of them, if you will. This is where you're gifted. This is what we see, your gifts and how they fit our church. But it's also freeing to them. It's really going to allow them to function the majority of their time in the areas where they're strong and having to carry less the burden in areas where they're weak. So I want to celebrate that and introduce that. And each of them are going to come and share just a few minutes about one of the other roles within these new job descriptions and titles, if you will. Who's first?
All right. Thank you, Jay. Okay, I'm going to highlight a bit of Robert's new responsibility here as a pastor of preaching and vision. And one quote that the Lord kind of sent our way over the summer is by a man named Howard Munson. And Howard Munson was a mentor to Martin Luther King Jr. And he had this great quote that we found really helpful. And it's this. It says, don't ask what the world needs. Ask, what makes you come alive and go do it? Because what the world needs is for people to come alive. And in a way, we hope that our titles kind of reflect that sentiment of that our responsibilities, our calling, our duties really do fit with what the Lord has called us specifically to do. If I were to ask you, what is the job of a senior pastor? If you grew up going to church, I guarantee you everybody in this room probably has a different idea of what a senior pastor is supposed to do. Many of you would think he's a CEO, or he is the king of going to the hospital and visit people. Of course, he's a preacher. He's a theologian. He's a budget expert. He does weddings and funerals, and he never forgets anyone's first name, and he has a perfect family, and whatever that would be. If that is your view of a senior pastor, then it really doesn't reflect who God has uniquely made Robert to be and for him to do. So his title change is Pastor of Preaching and Vision. Now, just so that you understand, per our government structure, per the BCO and all of that, Robert is still the senior pastor. He still is the number one. I assure you, he will not let us forget that. But it's rather his title. What he is going to focus on is what God has specifically called him to do, and that is communication, primarily here from the pulpit and also in a greater way. So two parts here. What does this mean for you, and what does this mean for Robert? First, what this means for you. What it means is for us as a congregation that we will continue to receive Christ exalted from God's word through the power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing will change. That is primarily what God has called Robert to do. That will not change at all. It also means for us as a congregation that you'll be getting more of Robert from a writing standpoint, from a thinking standpoint. We're going to free him so that he can use those gifts of writing, blogs, etc. I'll say more about that in a second. Of the many mediums he has to speak into our culture, we want him freed up to do that. But it also means for us as a congregation that we will see less of Robert in terms of things like visitation, hospital visits, etc. You're not going to think in terms of Robert as if you're just going to have a pastoral appointment. Now, there may be a need or an occasion where, yes, you will have an appointment with Robert, but we won't start with that. Rather, we'll start with me or with Will, and we'll go that direction. Here's what it means for Robert. Of course, this provides greater clarity to him. The session wants him primarily to focus on his preaching and communication gifts. Not exclusively, but primarily. Robert has been gifted with a unique set of communication skills. And just as his sermon this morning showed, it's not his gift. It's a gift for us, for his people in this congregation and for our city. Robert has a unique ability to speak into our culture. And I know and love Robert so much. I know what his passions are. He longs for people to know the truths of Scripture. He longs to make a difference in our community, in our lives, in our homes. His passion is writing and thinking and dreaming. I've often said, you give Robert an office, a Bible, the Holy Spirit, and a computer, and magic will come out of that room. And really, we want to free him up to primarily do those kind of things. Also, what this means for Robert. He'll be attending fewer meetings related to church daily activities. Again, with his title, we don't want him necessarily coming to staff meetings. And all the staff would then say amen. We don't want Robert primarily coming to staff meetings. We want to free him up to do these things. Another thing that will be happening with Robert that's good for us and it's good for our community is he's starting a new podcast. He'll be telling you more about that. But it will be talking about issues of faith and how it relates to culture and more writing projects like he's done with KSR, the Herald Leader, his blogs, that sort of thing. Lastly, what this means for Robert. That the session desires to match his desire that he will be beginning PhD studies. He has chosen a framer of the American Revolution who is a Presbyterian that no one has ever heard of and no scholarly work has been done. And Robert is submitting that as a proposal to work on a PhD. I cannot wait for us to call him Dr. Rob. It's going to be great. But we really do think Robert getting his PhD fits who God has made him and what he has been called to do. So that's what it means for you. That's what it means for Robert. And we celebrate this. Okay. Well.
Okay. What does this mean for Mark? The Three Stooges analogy is probably really good. There's been a lot of talk around our office about The Office, the show, and who is who, and I've never seen an episode of The Office, but I've seen a lot of Three Stooges, so Larry, Moe, and Curly, I'm not sure who we are, I'll let y'all figure that out. But what does this mean for Mark? Mark's title is Pastor of Congregational Care and Community, and I'm going to show you a slide here, true to my gifting, put things in pictures and regurgitatable, pass-onable things. But several years ago when we were sitting, this will give you a picture of how we worked together as a team. Several years ago, we were sitting during our pastor's week, and we were asking the question, how can we best care for our congregation? We have a growing congregation. We have a vision to have more congregations throughout the Bluegrass. Lord, none of us is sufficient as a pastor or a leader to do this. How are we going to do this? And we were getting an influx of significant needs, spiritual, emotional, physical. And so we just took a whole afternoon one day and said, let's think about this. And Robert was dreaming about these kind of things and a system of congregational care. And my wheels start going, how can we put that into a process of building and caring and nurturing? And then Mark comes along and says, how are we going to implement that at a congregational level? And this is what we came up with. And basically what this means, the example that I gave, and hence why it looks like buckets, is when the ground balls, my son played baseball, when the ground balls are hit to one of the pastors, we wanted to know what bucket do we need to put that in? What is the need of that person, that family, that situation? And these were the five buckets, if you will, that we said, if Jesus Christ himself were here, this is how he would care for our church. There would be an element of professional counseling. There'd be an element where this is beyond our own training. We needed counselors. Then there was a pastoral touch there. Then there was elders in our church. And we, as you've seen today, we're ordaining new elders because the needs are so great and we have so many good leaders. We're having more shepherds raised up. Then there's a body life component where a person just needs to fit into the body. And then there's a diaconal mercy care component where we take care of the physical needs, the spiritual needs, the practical needs. This picture, if I had to say, this is what Mark Randall is called, gifted, and now being tapped to do. Many of you have experienced Mark's pastoral care, his ability to connect with you on a personal shepherding level, his patience in adversity, his stability when things are ambiguous. Mark has those kind of shepherding and pastoral gifts. And so what he's going to be doing is thinking about the care of our congregation. This has multiple avenues. Some are depicted by this picture, but he'll be leading the liturgy every Sunday morning as Robert preaches. Mark will be the face of our Sunday morning leadership. The shepherding, he will be the on-call emergency visitation pastor. He will be the primary pastor for weddings, baptisms, funerals. So when you think go-to pastor for when I have a crisis in my family, Mark Randall is a more than sufficient pastor for that, and he has been asked to do that. On the administrative end, Mark is going to be the moderator of our session. So the elder component, Mark is going to be the one who's leading the elder meetings, leading the advisory council, the advisory board. Mark is the one who is going to be leading parish groups. So all the assimilating of putting our church into small groups and parish oversight, Mark will be doing that. And then as to true all of us, we each have an overseas partnership that we oversee. Mark will be overseeing the Mexico partnership. From a teaching component, Mark is a gifted teacher. He's going to continue to do the children's communicate membership. All of our kids that come through, one of the cool things each week is to see those, 10, 11, 12-year-olds running through the office and running right back there to Mark's office to go through their communicate membership. Mark will continue that, and he'll continue to teach an adult Sunday school class. One other thing that I wanted to make you aware of that Mark will also be doing that I think is significant to this whole area is Mark is the chairman of our Candidates and Credentials Committee in the Presbytery, which means Mark oversees all of the men who come through the Presbytery, their ordination, their exams, their shepherding, their guidance, which is a massive process. I mean, our church alone right now has 6 men going through this process. That's just in our church, not to mention the rest of the presbytery. And that's one of Mark's roles, which totally fits his pastoral care oversight gifting. And so couldn't be more thrilled to work with Mark alongside these congregational care things. Awesome. Robert.
All right, let me close us out here by talking about Will and his new role, which is probably the biggest change. In some capacities, Mark and I have been functioning in these roles, if not formally, just kind of organically. And it's good to have clarity on that. But Will, I think, is probably is the addition to this. Although he's certainly been a part of our team and behind a lot of things, but. When you think about Will Witherington, what I think about is a man that I love and trust deeply, but also a man who's just incredibly gifted. If you know Will, you know this about him. He has so many gifts, and what this means is that there is so much that Will could do. I can't really think of a job within the church that we could say, "Hey, Will, this is what we want you to do," and that he couldn't pull it off, and he couldn't pull it off with excellence. And that's kind of the problem with Will Witherington. It is he's too good. And what happens when you have somebody who is such a gifted leader, the tendency is to spread that leader thin. And our church has been doing that to Will. Will's problem is he likes that to be done to him. He needs to grow in saying no and knowing what God's calling him to do and doing that. So we were kind of this toxic combination of we got a bunch of stuff for you to do and Will loves to do a bunch of stuff. And we're trying to get out of that. We're trying to zero in Will's focus. And to be honest with you, this is coming from a season of prayer in Will and Danielle and their life and their family. What happened is that Will's gifts were being spread everywhere, certainly within our congregation, but even within the campus outreach world. He wasn't just directing Lexington. He essentially has been flying all over the country, helping out other regions and directing other regions. He speaks a lot of places stuff. And what he started to see and notice is that he was doing a lot of things that were good, but he wasn't zeroing in on something. And at his heart of hearts, he's a builder. He likes to dig in and build things. And so he did some prayer and came back when the staff committee was in order to do the move where you got me as the preaching and vision and writer and public thinker and all that stuff, and Mark to be the shepherding congregational care, there was this huge gap that was the executive component. And we were actually in the process as a staff committee of hiring an executive director. And Will came back to us and says, "I think that's what God's calling me to do. I want to dig in somewhere and use my administrative kingly gifts on something in particular, and I want that to be the glory of Christ and the good of the bluegrass. I'm all in here." He's finishing up 25 years of ministry, and he's been praying you know, he's not quite an empty nester, but he ain't getting any younger. Danielle is, but he, you know, but he's dreaming about, okay, what's the next 20? I probably got another 25 good years. What's that going to look like? And he wants it to be here. So, this is what it's going to be. His role is going to be threefold. He's going to continue to be overseeing Campus Outreach Kentucky, not in a hands-on way. Andy Harden is now the director of Campus Outreach Kentucky, and he's doing a fantastic, fantastic job. And so Will is not going to get back into directing the ministry, but he is still going to be a visionary administrator over all things Campus Outreach Kentucky. The second thing is the Bluegrass Network that we started last year, which is our arm of expansion of church planting and go to the Bluegrass conferences and things like this. Will is going to be overseeing that, so the Bluegrass Network, so campus ministry, Bluegrass Network expansion, stuff like that. And then most significantly for us, he is going to be over all ministries and operations of the church. Here, Bobby Pepiot is the church administrator, and he does a fantastic job of running the place. He really is. He's very gifted at that. Will is going to be coming in less about, more about empowering Bobby to be the administrator that he is, and really focusing in on developing the ministries of the church. We need somebody whose only job is to think about the ministries, the staff, the health and life of all that we have going on here. So if you want to just conceptualize what this is, the best way to do that would be if the church has two org charts. One underneath one org chart is all of you all the people. The other org chart would be all that we're doing, the operations, the ministries, the staff, and these types of things. If you want to just picture it all, we've basically said, Mark, we want you to take the people. Will, we want you to take the ministries, and then that will free me up to, you know, dissertations and writing and preaching and teaching and whatnot. That's kind of where we landed on. And make no mistake, we didn't just land there out of disorder and dysfunction. We landed there because I genuinely believe this doesn't work if you've got a senior pastor who is threatened by the gifts of a Will Witherington or a Mark Randall. You need to know I am not threatened one bit by their gifts. I envy their gifts in my worst moments. This is born out of the fact that I genuinely think Mark Randall is better at caring for people than I am. And if we have the traditional senior pastor role, then that expectation is upon me. I genuinely think that Will Witherington is better at running an organization than I am. And if we have the traditional senior pastor role, that's on me too. So it's not just, hey, let's free Robert up to do something. It's, no, we need to flourish better than we are. We need to set Mark free to do his thing, and we need to set Will free to do his thing and all that stuff. So the best way to conceptualize it is this. Mark is here to pastor you. Will is here to mobilize you, okay? And if you're thinking in that vein, go through them. If you got pastoral issues, go to Mark. If you want to serve, go to Will. Mark's here to pastor you. Will is here to mobilize you, to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And I will continue in a similar role as you have seen me, only, like Mark said, with some freed up time to do some more stuff like starting this podcast and some more writing and the PhD, of course. So that's kind of the big thing for this year. It has much more to do not with adding things, but reorganizing ourselves to flourish better. All right. I know that might raise a lot of questions. You're welcome to ask those, but you don't ask me anymore. Mark would love to take your questions. Will would love to take your questions. Reach out to us. Let me pray, and then we'll get going with our 11:15 service. Our Lord, we thank you for the gifts that you have brought here. We thank you for a church community and a session that is so loving and so gracious and so supportive of our staff that they want to set us free to be who you've made us to be the glory that you have created us to live in. Lord, thank you for a session that prioritizes the health of its pastors, that does not ask us to do things that we don't have the time to do, we don't have the energy to do, that we would have to neglect our families to do, that would burn us out, Lord, that we have a leadership and a church community that supports that leadership and freeing us up to be the pastors that you've called us to be. This has implications all the way down. And so we just pray for our church this year as we go forth with this new leadership model. We pray that it would bless this congregation and most of all that it would bring glory to you, Jesus Christ, and good to the bluegrass where you have us. We pray in your name. Amen. Amen. Okay, thanks for being here. We're going to get going in.